Gabay, Yaakov. Yaakov Gabay, or Gabay with a double B, aka Yaakov, Jacob, Jacob, born in Athens in 1912, wrote a brief text about his alleged experiences in Auschwitz in 1983, almost four decades after the events, when asked to do so by Eric Kulker. Some 10 years later, he was interviewed by Israeli historian Gideon Greif. He arrived at Auschwitz from Greece on the 11th of April 1944. Gabay's testimony given to Greif is riddled with claims and data about events that he, as a simple member of the crematoria stokers, could not possibly know, such as which transport arrived at Auschwitz from where, with how many inmates, how many people were presumably killed in all claimed killing facilities at Auschwitz, and what the overall capacity of these facilities were. Where his claims can be verified by wartime documents, Gabay's assertions turn out to be false, including the distance from the railway ramp to the Birkenau camp, 3 kilometers claimed by Gabay, versus 500 meters according to maps. The number of inmates working as stokers, 750 claimed by Gabay, 315 according to documents. The number of Hungarian Jews cremated daily in mid-May, 24,000 murdered and cremated claimed by Gabay, yet only some 5,000 Jews unfit for work arrived daily according to documents. The start of mass murder of Hungarian Jews, for Gabay the murder started in late April, but Hungarian Jews started arriving at Auschwitz only in mid-May 1944. The end of mass murder of Hungarian Jews, August for Gabay, yet the last train with Hungarian Jews arrived on the 11th of July. The percentage of inmates deemed fit for labor, Gabay claimed this was arbitrary, giving wildly divergent figures, while documents show that these assessments were made thoroughly. The names and ranks of SS men in charge of the crematoria, Gabay gave names and assigned SS ranks that are completely invented. The fate and date of the last transport from Greece, Gabay has it arrive at Auschwitz in late June 1944, with not a single inmate being registered, while the last transport from Greece in fact arrived on the 16th of August 1944, and the only one in June had more than 600 inmates getting registered. The number of transports arriving in August, almost none according to Gabay, but 8 major transports arrived from the Ludge ghetto. The month of the claimed Gypsy mass murder, June 1944 for Gabay, August for the Orthodoxy, but the event is refuted by documentation. The murder of 2,500 Jews arriving on Yom Kippur, the 4th of October 1944, there is no record of any such arriving transport. The event and number of victims of an inmate uprising, Gabay has Kramer 4 detonated, and some 850 casualties, while Kramer 4 was only set on fire, and the Orthodoxy claims 451 casualties. The sleeping arrangement for crematorium stokers, Gabay gave them all private rooms in the crematorium's attic, while blueprints show only one large common dormitory. Interestingly, just like many other inmates interviewed by Greif, J. Sacker, S. Chasen, L. Cohen, E. Eisenschmidt, Gabay insisted that pits dug at Birkenau, to burn the gassing victims by means of open-air incinerations, were called bunkers. He evidently had no knowledge of the makeshift gassing facility called Bunker 2, which the Orthodoxy claimed was in full operation during Gabay's time at Auschwitz. He insisted instead, and contrary to the Orthodox narrative, that the victims gassed in the crematoria were dragged out into the fields, next to the camp, to be cremated there in pits. Gabay moreover paid homage to the law of human fat serving as fuel, that, quote, kept the fire going, unquote, although he added that firewood was used too, and repeated the widespread but untrue claim, that the crematoria spread a, quote, stench of scorched human flesh, unquote. He repeated the standard figure of 2,000 victims fitting into the alleged gas chamber of crematoria 2 and 3, which at a packing density almost 10 people per square meter, would have required the utmost discipline and cooperation of all inmates, in order to make it happen. According to Gabay, the poison gas was introduced by throwing in quote-unquote blue cubes through, quote, four openings in the ceiling of each gas chamber, unquote, which were, quote, glass windows protected with iron bars, unquote, causing quote-unquote blue vapors to spread through the chamber. This claimed way of introducing the poison is in stark contrast to the commonly claimed, but equally fictitious wire mesh introduction columns. While Zyklon B gypsum cubes may have a pale turquoise hue, they certainly were not blue cubes, their hydrogen cyanide vapors were not blue but colorless, and they also did not cause immediate asphyxiation, as Gabay has it. Absent any means to force a swift evaporation and dissipation of the gas, the process would have taken many minutes, even hours. For Gabay, the chamber was ventilated by opening the non-existing iron-barred glass windows in the ceiling, while he seems to have been ignorant of the room's ventilation system, with many vents in the side walls. Although he referred to it in his 1983 text. For Gabay, the victims of a gassing were full of blood, due to, quote, internal hemorrhages that burst in the gas chambers. The gas made blood vessels break open, unquote. This is utter nonsense, as hydrogen cyanide has no such effect at all. Claiming to have worked in such a gas chamber for 8 months, he should know that victims of cyanide poisoning have a pinkish skin color, but are otherwise unaltered. Gabay claimed that 4 corpses were placed at once in a cremation muffle, designed and sized to hold only 1 corpse, and that it took only half an hour to cremate them, compared to an hour for each corpse in reality, see the entry on crematoria. Hence, he exaggerated the maximum theoretical capacity by a factor of 8. He also claimed that the triple muffle furnaces of crematoria 2 and 3 had 2 introduction doors at the front, and 1 in the rear, although they were all at the front, side by side. He insisted that, when loading the muffles with fresh corpses, it took them 3 minutes to load 60 corpses, with 2 corpses being introduced in 1 batch, 2 batches per muffle. With 30 batches, this amounts to just 6 seconds per batch, impossible. Gabay claimed that, during the cremation, they turned over the bodies with pitchforks, to get them, quote, near the flames, unquote, but assuming they managed to accomplish the impossible feat to get 4 bodies into the narrow muffle, there would not have been any space left to turn them over. Furthermore, cremation muffles do not have a flame to which the corpses need to be exposed. The entire muffle glows red hot, giving off heat from all around, and the combusting coke gas streams throughout the muffle. Cremation muffles are not barbecue grills, where the burger needs to get flipped once in a while, to make it equally done on all sides. Gabay insisted that, once the furnaces had been lit, the cremation process required no fuel at all, because, quote, the human fat fueled the flames, unquote, although self-immolating bodies simply do not exist, and it is well documented that the type of furnace he worked with had a fuel requirement of at least 20 kilograms of coke per corpse, under perfect conditions. Gabay also claimed that the ash extraction door was located at the furnace's rear, when in fact it was also located at the front. Summarizing, it is clear that Gabay either had his real memories almost completely replaced with what he heard and memorized, often incorrectly, from other sources over the decades, or that he never actually had any real memories, and made up the whole thing. Gabay's earlier statement made in Jerusalem on the 20th of June 1983 is considerably shorter than his interview with Greif. It contains numerous contradictions to his interview claims, some of them minor, but others quite blatant. For a detailed study of them, and for a deeper analysis of Gabay's Greif interview, see Metonio 2022e, pages 31-55.